I suppose that was 50 years ago, brother.
You notice he was very, very particular. He didn't say, 40, didn't say 41, didn't say 42. He had to say, on to 43. Did you ever see such a... you never mention that kind of an age. But he did. Amen. Glory to God. Right, let's open the scriptures tonight. We're turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. The 14th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel. We'd like you to follow us in the reading of God's precious word. And we pray the Spirit of God will speak to each and every one of our hearts, even as we open the scriptures tonight. Matthew chapter 14, we'll commence reading at verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up unto a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Keep your Bibles open. Let's seek the face of God together. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, we praise Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee, our God, that we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, anchored to the rock that cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. And, O God, I pray in Jesus' name that Thou will bless Thy Word to our hearts tonight in this meeting. We pray that You'll speak to each and every one of us, saint and sinner alike. And, O God, this night, may there be a turning unto Thyself. Oh, for a closer walk with God, that calm and heavenly frame. We pray for any tonight that know not Jesus, that they might come and find in Him life which is eternal. Lord, they've been living wasted years without Thee. But, oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that tonight that You'll save them. Hear and answer prayer, for we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. I suppose one of the most familiar stories that many people could quote is the story of the feeding of the 5,000. In actual fact, that story is recorded, unlike most of the stories, is recorded in all the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, after the feeding of the 5,000, the Lord Jesus instructed his disciples to get into the ship, the Bible says, and to go before him onto the other side. And that would be fine, it says in verse number 22. He constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him onto the other side. Well, he sent the multitude away. Now, the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ did this immediately was there had been a tremendous revelation of the power of Christ in the feeding of the 5,000. You remember just a few wee loaves and fishes? And yet the Lord Jesus was able to feed the 5,000 plus the woman and the children. And so therefore, whenever this miracle took place, the people were filled with such a fervor in their heart, many of them, as the Lord looked into their heart, they wanted to make Jesus king. My, this would be a great king for to have over us. He's able to work miracles like this. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, when he knew what was in the hearts of the people that were fed that day, the Lord Jesus straightway constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to leave that situation. urgently. Why? Because the Lord Jesus did not want his disciples caught up. If there was this movement amongst the crowd, his disciples were not to be caught up with them. And so the Lord Jesus, of course, knew exactly what was in the hearts of the people, just as the Lord knows what's in the hearts of every man and every woman, every boy and every girl listening to this meeting tonight. Let me tell you, the Lord knows exactly what's going on in your heart now. The Lord knew exactly what was going on in their heart at that moment. And so therefore the Lord Jesus knew that for the disciples' sake, he would send them away immediately. And so he did. Straightway, the Lord Jesus constrained them to get into the ship. Now perhaps they didn't understand. Why, Lord, what's the hurry? But you know, there are times in our lives that we don't understand what the Lord's doing. But I tell you this, my friend. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples? What I do, thou knowest not now, but, hallelujah, thou shalt know hereafter. And friend, there are things that we don't understand in our lives that we just have to leave in the Lord's hand. But the wonderful thing was this, that the Lord Jesus, he sent not only the disciples away, he sent the multitude away, and he was there alone. The wonderful thing was this, the disciples, even though they didn't understand, they did it. Do you remember what Mary said to the disciples? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And friend, let me tell you, that's the best advice that I could give to any child of God in this meeting tonight. It's whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Be obedient to what God constrains you to do. And so the disciples, they got into the ship and they were making their way onto the other side. Now the Lord Jesus Christ went up then when he got the rest of the crowd away. The Lord Jesus went up into the mountain alone, and he was there for 8 hours. He spent in communion with his Father, in fellowship with his Father there up that mountain alone. You know, there are times, friend, that it is good to get alone. To get away from the hustle and bustle of everything and get alone with God and let the Lord deal with your heart. Let the Lord speak to your heart. Now, the Lord Jesus fellowshiped with his Father there in that mountain. For 8 hours there, he was on that mountain. And then the Lord Jesus Christ came down out of that mountain and came to his disciples. But during that time when the disciples were in that ship, they ran into a storm. And friend, here they were, friend, listen, here were, many of them were hardened fishermen, and the Bible says that they were in verse number 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, those who have gone to Israel will know that the Sea of Galilee is not a great massive amount of water. And yet, here we find 8 hours later, and they're still in the midst of the sea. Now, they were experienced, some of them were experienced fishermen, and therefore they knew what it was to be in a boat, they knew what it was to row, but listen, with all the efforts that they made, they still were only in the midst of the sea. Why? Because the winds were contrary. In other words, this wind, just as they were taken, moving that way, they were just driven back. And you know, sometimes that happens in life, even for the child of God. That my, we take a step forward and it just seems to be take two steps back. But I tell you, there was nothing outside of the Lord's control in this whole situation. Because I want you to remember this, that whenever the disciples were in that ship and the winds were blowing and the winds were contrary, listen, remember, they were in the center of the will of God. And sometimes people feel that if you're saved, that somehow that night the Lord saves you, that he inoculates you from trouble and trials, that you never have another trouble anymore, and everything's just going to be glory, hallelujah, all the way. Now let me tell you, my friend, the Word of God says this, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And so therefore, if you're going through troubles tonight, maybe there's a child of God here and you're through troubles and trials in your life and you can't understand why. Why should I be going through this? I love the Lord. I'm wanting to serve the Lord, and it just seems to be that everything's against me. Let me tell you, my friend, you just remember this. God's still in control of everything. He's in control, and he is in control, thank God, of the storm. And whilst they were there, they were in the center of the will of God. How do I know? Because he was the one that commanded them to get into the ship. He was the one that told them to get into the ship and go to the other side. And so they were there under the instructions of the Lord. But let's be honest. Whilst they were there, they were struggling. And no matter how they tried, friend, it just seemed to be they're making little headway. And maybe there's someone in this service tonight that I know nothing about, but you're in a storm. Maybe in your life there's a storm that's growing on in your life, and you can't understand what is happening in your life, and no matter how you try, no matter all the efforts that you make, you're getting nowhere. It just seems to be you're back to where you started, and even further than that. Now, storms in life, and I've been there, storms are not and never pleasant. But I can tell you, under God, they can be very beneficial. You remember the Word of God says, the working of your faith, it worketh patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. That's not to be ashamed. And so therefore, my friend, listen, you remember this, that storm that you're in the midst of, I say to you, brother, sister, in God's name, don't give up. Now the old devil said, listen, what's the use? What's the use of going on? My, it seems to be that my, when I got saved, it just seemed to be the old devil was after me, and my, he's come so many storms. Well, that's true. The old devil is after you. Remember an old preacher one time, and he was going down the road, driving down the road in the car. He saw these two boys, they called them at that time the two hippies, and they had winkle picker shoes that you could nearly pick your nose with. And there was just this big point that used to be in the shoes. And they were walking down the road, and the preacher thought he would give them a lift. I got them into the back of the car, and when he got them into the back of the car, they talked a little while, and then the preacher says to them, tell us this, boys, if we went round the corner and met the devil, who would he go for? One boy looked at the other and says, oh, he's going to get at us now, isn't he? He says, well, I suppose he would get at us. He says, got it wrong. He says, get at me. He's got you already. So therefore, he doesn't need to get at you. He's got you. But I'm the only one he hasn't. Let me tell you, my friend, there is true. Many storms come in the life of the child of God. But the wonderful thing I want you to remember this. There's a lovely, in the record of this story in Mark's Gospel chapter 6, it says these words, as the Lord Jesus was up on the mountain, it says this, and he saw them. He saw them. And unknown to them, the Savior was watching. Unknown to them, the Savior was watching them even in the midst of the storm. Now you say to me, well, why did the Lord not come? He did. He did. He came right on time. You see, friend, he saw them. He was close to them. Now, they didn't see him. And maybe that storm that you're going through, child of God, you can't see him. But always remember, if you know and love the Lord, remember these words. This is his promise. He says, I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. He's there. Where? Right in the midst of the storm. He's there. I will never, never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And thank God he will come. He will come right on time. You say to me, listen, hold on a second. But these men could have perished. No, they couldn't. These men could have perished there in that boat as they were traveling across to the other side, obeying the will of God. And my, they were in the midst of a storm. No, they couldn't. And I'll tell you why. The Lord Jesus Christ said to them to go before him onto the other side. They weren't going to sink in the middle. They were going to the other side. And thank God when he gives you a command, that's his enablement. God gives you the ability to do what he commands you to do. Young man, tonight if you're here and God's calling you to be a preacher of the gospel, I want to see you say, listen, but I'm not able to do this and I'm not able to do that. I want to tell you this. If God's calling you, that's the enablement. You rely on him. It's not you. And if you're going in your own strength, then stay out. Because they don't need you. You need to rely on the Lord. Because he's the only one you need. And thank God here we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw them. And then the Lord Jesus Christ came unto them. It says in verse number 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. Now the fourth watch of the night, it was the darkest part of the night. Sometimes in the lives of God's people there are dark times and dark places. Maybe, and for the unsaved too, friend. You know, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but it says this, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Man, that's everybody, saved and unsaved. And let me be honest, I must be honest. In my 50 years of preaching the word of God in Macrofelt, I've seen many as a storm and many a dark place for family circles, yes, saved and unsaved. And I must confess, I can't understand how the ungodly can face without Jesus. I can't understand how a man can lie on his bed and the doctor stand by his side and say to that man that he's got cancer, he's got some incurable disease, and yet that man still lives on without Christ. In the midst of that dark moment, and still he has no hope. I couldn't do without Jesus. Thank God I don't have to, because he'd never leave me. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to say this, the Lord Jesus, yes, it was the darkest part of the night, but glory to God, Jesus went unto them. In the darkest part of the night, Jesus went unto them. And the Bible says this, verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking in the sea, they were troubled. It says it's a spirit, and they cried out. Here's big men, and they're crying out for fear. I don't care how big you are, friend, let me tell you, the Lord can shake you. Don't care how strong you are, the Lord can shake. Don't you take God on, friend. Don't think you're too big for God. I remember one night I came home when I was a young lad, a young preacher in Macrofelt. I came back to Macrofelt. It was the old Mad May Festival, Macrofelt and District Festival in the month of May. I remember whenever I came back to the town, our young people had put up a stall in the midst of the town to sell Bibles and Christian literature. Amidst all the other stalls, there were maybe 100 stalls in the town that night, but they put up the stall. I remember coming back and come to our young people and say, well, how did you get on so far? And they said to Mr. McRae, they were really troubled. They said, Mr. McRae, see that pub over there? The lounge over there? A man came out of that there. Walked over it. And they said, well, what are you selling, folks? And we said, we're selling Bibles. Said that man, do you know what he did? He just stood in the midst, just there beside the stall, and he just lifted his finger like that. He says, God, if you're there, strike me dead. Said God didn't do it, and he walked away laughing. I'm going to tell you, my friend, came a day God did take him, and he's not laughing tonight. Don't you mock God. Don't you think that you're too big for God, friend? Let me tell you, God takes you on. I'll tell you this, you'll fall. Don't deceive your soul. Don't you deceive yourself that you're big enough for God. And I want to tell you, here was the darkness of the night. And in the midst of the darkness, these big men began to shake. Why? Because they saw something coming, walking to them, and they didn't know what it was. They cried out for fear. Thank God, Jesus, straightway, verse 27, Jesus spake. He didn't leave them in the hands of fear. The Lord Jesus said to them, he said, be of good cheer, it's I. Don't worry. It's I. It's the Master. Be not afraid. Thank God he stilled the fears. Let's be quite honest. You see, if I'm lying in that bed and the doctor comes and says that to me, I'm no bigger than anybody else. For none of us want to hear that news. The doctor says, I can't do any more. But thank God he gives me peace in the midst of the storm. I was only a young lad, let me tell you. I was only a young lad whenever I was told in the Royal Victoria Hospital after 6 weeks in hospital, 3 weeks in Ballymena and 3 weeks in the Royal. A lad came in to see me and he said, Mr. McRae, I think you should make your will. Now, I laughed at him because I know how to live. But nevertheless, because at that time they thought that I had an incurable disease. You're not bigger than anybody else. But thank God he gives you peace. We have an anchor that keeps the soul. But sinner, you have nothing. You have nothing. All you have I want to tell you, whenever that moment comes and you're about to be ushered into God's eternity, no matter what you're relying upon, no matter what you're depending upon, it'll feel. Ah, the waters failed. They mocked me as a drink, mocked me as a wield. Now none but Christ can satisfy. And here these big men, they cry out for fear. But thank God Jesus said, it's I. You know, Peter was the one that was always impetuous. He was always up front there. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come. Remember still the darkness of the night? He said, Lord, bid me to come. You know what Jesus said? He says, come. Come. And friend, here you are in this meeting tonight, this gospel mission tonight. And if you're sitting here as a sinner, you're sitting in the darkness of your sin. And you know what Jesus says to you sitting in the darkness of your heart tonight? He says, come. He says, come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And so the Lord Jesus said to Peter, come. Now, this is what the Bible says about that story, verse number 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he, mark these words, he walked on the water. Actually, he did. Do you know why? Because when the Lord told him to come, the Lord wasn't mocking him. He gave him the ability to do it. And I want to tell you, when the Lord bids you come to him to be saved, I want to tell you the Lord's not mocking you when he says that he'll not cast you out. Thank God he'll save you if you come to him. He means it when he invites a sinner to come. And Peter steps out of that boat and he walks in the water to go to Jesus. But, verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he's back to the fear again. He was afraid. And beginning to sink. Here's this big man, Peter, that was always at the forefront. Said, listen, Lord, doesn't matter who you can depend upon, you can depend on me. Should everybody else forsake you and run away from you, Lord, you can depend on me. I'll be there. Here's big Peter, big rough fisherman. He's been in many a storm before. But there's something different that night. And the Bible says he was afraid. Word of God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Sad reality is, there's little fear of God, no fear of God in men and women's eyes. People can live without God, friend. This wee country of ours is richly blessed, but I can tell you this. Man has got so self-sufficient, he feels he has no need of God anymore. He has got all he needs. He might have, friend. But I'll guarantee there'll come a moment when everything that he has that he thinks he can depend upon, God will just sweep away and take it away. And you're all alone before God. Just you and him. I saw the dead, small and great. Listen to these words. Stand before God. Well, the word of God says, it's a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and so it is for him. To fall into the hands of the living God without Christ and without hope. And Peter, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. You see, before I just come to the words of Peter tonight, why didn't the Lord come before then? Let me tell you, sometimes the Lord allows his children to exhaust all their resources, that they're thrown completely on him. Where can I go but to the Lord? And friend, he's all you need. Himmler said, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be a king of a vast domain. The story is told that the Queen's father was visiting the United States of America. He was there at a great banquet in the United States. He was being received and honored. But for that special occasion, they had an old Indian man, an old Indian chief, and they brought him into the presence of the King of England, and they asked him to sing. He sang these words, I'd rather have Jesus in silver and gold than to be a king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. And you know, they looked at each other, those people sitting around, and they wondered, what will a king do? Will he be angry than to be a king? I'd rather than to be a king. It is said that the King of England stood at the end to make a speech. He turned to the old Indian chief and he said this, Sir, and I'd rather have Jesus too. Let me tell you, my friend, you might have nobody around you. Everybody else may have failed. Everybody else may turn against you. Everybody else may let you down. You may feel that there's nobody cares or nobody understands. David came to that moment in his life and he cried out these words, No man cares for my soul. And yet David said this, Lord, you're my shepherd, and I not want, because I got the Lord. Remember going to the hospital one day, and a wee woman was lying near the end of the journey. I said to her, Mrs. Hyneman, how are you today, dear? She says, I'm good. And then she said to me, you know, preacher, you sing a wee hymn. And you talk about having the Lord, that when you have the Lord, you've got everything. What would I do without Jesus, the shepherd of my valley? And she says, I couldn't do without him. But I don't have to. I've got him. And here's Peter, this big man standing there, yes, before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he takes his eyes of the Savior, and he's caught up with the winds and the waves. That's all he can see now. And then he begins to sink, and he cries out in fear, beginning to sink. Lord, save me. Tell me, why did he cry that out, friend? Because he realized his predicament. He was sinking. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed by guilt within. Mercy I did implore. Then the masters of the sea heard my despairing cry. Christ, my Savior, lifted me. Now safe am I. When you have the Lord, friend. And Peter, he realizes he's sinking and he cries out, I'm sinking, Lord! Lord, save me! He's sinking. He realized the danger. And yet there are men and women tonight. And as you sit in this gospel meeting, there are men and women, and their glasses are tinkling in the lounge bars of Ulster, where the thought of God or eternity, and they're nearer hell than ever they've been before, but they don't realize the danger, and they're laughing You know, I've said this before, we have an elder, Macrofelt. He was a police officer. Cecil was always faithful to precious souls. It didn't matter who they were, Cecil would tell you about the Lord and your need of the Lord. Didn't matter whether you're the superintendent or the chief constable, if you came in Cecil's presence, he was just a reserve policeman, but he didn't care. He warned all those men in the station, wherever he was, in Castle Dawson and Macrofelt, or wherever he was, he faithfully told them of their need of Jesus. And one day he was standing at the barrier at the station, the time that he was the guard. He was standing at the barrier. And this young man was coming out in his car, and Cecil many times had talked to him about the Lord. He opened put the window down of his car, and he looked at Cecil, and that's what he said to him. He says, "Cecil," he says, "if there's a hell, I'll meet you there." Ha, 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 ha. Laugh. Well, no, this is true, friend. He went up the road to a neighbouring town. He got off his car and he got onto his motorbike. Got on his leathers and was going out the night for his night of fun and pleasure. And going down the road, his motorbike went under a vehicle. And when they lifted him, he was dead. And the last words he said was this: "Cecil, if there's a hell, I'll meet you there. Ha ha." He'd never meet Cecil in hell, friend. For Cecil will never be there. For Cecil's going to heaven. But the laughter's over. You see, listen to me carefully. Do you know that God is the last laugh? Did you know that? In the book of Proverbs, in the chapter 1, this is what God says: "Then shall I laugh at your calamity." And God says, "I'll mock when your fear comes." You see, man's laughing at the people of God tonight, and I think we're fools. And I think you're a fool maybe coming even to a gospel mission tonight. I want to tell you this. One day God will laugh. And I've often thought about it. Down the dark corridors of the damned and the lost, eternity in the fires of hell, the sinner will hear the laughter of God Almighty. And God says, "I'll mock." Oh yes, you can have your mockery. You can mock God as much as you like. But remember, God says, "I'll mock at your calamity." What an awful thing. And Peter realized his predicament. He was on the verge of being lost. He was about to drown, friend. He was going down. And there was nothing he could do. Nothing this big man could do. He's going down. He's only got one opportunity. One last opportunity. But thank God he takes it. And the Bible says, not only his predicament, but notice his perception. He cried these words, "Lord." He cried to the Lord. There's men and women, let me tell you, in Ulster tonight, and you're dependent on your church to get you to heaven. And for 50 years I was a Free Presbyterian minister, tried my best to pastor a congregation. But I tell you this, I love the Free Church, but I can tell you, if there's somebody here tonight depending on their attendance at a Free Presbyterian church to take you to heaven, you're going to hell. For that book doesn't say the Free Church is the way to heaven. Thank God we preach the way to heaven. and we're faithful. But we're not the way. And Peter cried out this word, Lord, because there was no one else could help him. He didn't look back to the boat and cry to the men, men, come and help me. They could do nothing for him. They were in the blackness and the darkness of the night. And Peter's going down. He's just about to go down to die. Remember, Peter got caught up with the winds and the waves. He got his eyes to the Lord and he looked and he saw the winds and the waves. And he began to sink. But praise God, he turns his eyes upon the Lord and he cries, Lord, why? Because he was the only one that could save him. And I say tonight, without apology, there's only one can save you. The Word of God says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. I don't care who they are. I don't care who they are. Neither is there salvation in any other. Your mother's salvation will not take you to heaven, young lad. Your dad's salvation, young lassie, will not take you to heaven. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You need the Lord. Ulster needs the Lord. Men and women need the Lord. And they cried out. He didn't cry to the disciples. They cried to the Lord. But notice the plea. Time's away tonight. He said, Lord, save me. Didn't make a long prayer, did he? It was short. It was simple. But thank God it was sure. It was spot on. And let me tell you, that's what the sinner needs to cry. Lord, save me. It's God's salvation you need. You need to be saved from your sin. That sin that will damn you. That sin, my friend, that will take you to the lowest hell. You need to be saved from your sin. You need to be saved from yourself. For if you're relying on yourself, and there's multitudes of men and women, and they're relying on their good works to get them to heaven, they think, I'll do the best I can, preacher, and surely that'll be enough. I want to tell you, friend, the best you can is, as it says in the Word of God, all your righteousness are as filthy rags in God's sight. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. And I say this tonight. If you could get to heaven by yourself, then I ask this question. Why did God Almighty send his Son to the cross of Calvary to be crucified in an old rugged tree? Why did God turn away his face from his Son up on the cross of Calvary, where Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did God give up the darling of his bosom, send him to the sin-cursed seat of time to be man's substitute? If you can get to heaven your way. But in the authority of this book tonight, you can't. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, Proverbs 14:12. But the end thereof is the way of death. And you can rely on yourself, friend, but you'll go to hell. You can rely on others and you'll go to hell. But praise God, there's never been a man that has trusted in Jesus that shall ever perish, because the Word of God says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Thank God, when you have Jesus, you're sure of heaven. I'd rather have Jesus. No, the Bible says, he said, Lord, save me. I don't know who many of you are tonight. But friend, you need to take your place as a sinner. No Negro spiritual, not my brother and my sister, but it's me, dear Lord, standing in need of prayer. Listen, it's Lord, save me. And if you're not saved tonight, you better get to that place where you'll humble yourself before God and cry out to God, Lord, save me. I'm the sinner. I need you, Lord. I ask you tonight as we close, do you know you need the Lord? Do you see your need? Do you see you're perishing? Peter did. And he knew the Lord was the only answer. And he cried, Lord, save me, Lord, deliver me. Notice says, and now this I'm through. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Hallelujah. Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And all he cried, friend, was three words, Lord, save me. And immediately. No, the Lord, if you call on the Lord tonight, the Lord will not say to you, no, I'll let you just stew in it a bit. No. Immediately he stretched forth his hand and he caught him. And you know, amazing thing is this, the wind didn't cease. It didn't. But the Lord Jesus and Peter walked back to the boat. They walked back over those circumstances of those troubled waves that Peter was sinking in, that Peter was about to perish in. And now he's walking on them. Why? Because Jesus is walking with them. And it wasn't until they got back into the boat that the wind ceased. I may face many a storm, but thank God I'm going to reach heaven. Hallelujah. I'll never be in hell because of Jesus. Will you come to him? I beg you tonight. I beg you in God's name tonight, listen, take your place as a sinner. And call upon the Savior. And I guarantee you, God says this, him or her that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out immediately. He'll take control of your life. And praise God, he'll take you at last to heaven. Let's pray.